Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is a nice morning, isn't it? Nice to see the sun shining, and it tells us that there's a change coming. We're coming out of winter, and we're heading into spring. And that's a lovely time of the year. That's a lovely time of the year. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to read some verses. I've been sort of reading just one verse to you this last little while, but we're going to read that same verse, verse 13, but we'll read on a little further past verse 13. Verse 13 then, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he fain desired, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." Amen. We leave our reading there, and may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Oftentimes when I and other ministers are in the pulpit, we try to illustrate what it is we're saying by drawing from some event that has happened in history or happened in recent times. And very, very often we say, you know, it doesn't quite match what it is I'm trying to get across to you. Because no illustration that we seek to give gets across all the truth or is exactly what it is we're trying to say. But that's not the case with the Lord Jesus. When he speaks here of the parable of the prodigal, as we call him, it's not just some man or some people that this story matches, but it speaks of every one of us. Every one of us. No matter who we are, what age we are, what our circumstances are, we will find in this parable a parallel to our life. I want you to recognize that. I don't want you looking in on this parable and saying to yourself, well, it's nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with every one of us. We need to bear that in mind. We need to bear that in mind. Now we have come to the closing portion of this parable. We have witnessed the young man making those arrogant demands of his father. Give me the portion that I believe's mine. And the father kindly and graciously giving him a portion. And the young man immediately taking that portion and going away from his father, away from the one who had just given him this great benefit and blessing. He immediately sets out to get away from him. Not the height of folly. Wouldn't you think that he would have said, well, my father has just shown me great kindness in giving me all this. I'll stay with my father. For in his company and his presence, I'm going to continue to enjoy such bountiful giving and such kindness as he has just manifested. No, he takes it and he heads off to a far country about which he knew nothing, although he had his own ideas as what the far country would have for him and hold for him. But he was completely wrong. And when he went there, a madness overtook him. He began to live riotously, like someone drunk. He was possessed of a spirit of madness, and very soon he had nothing. As it says, he wasted. He wasted. Listen, boys and girls, what God has given to you, there's a limit to it. The mercy he has shown to you, the long suffering he has shown to you, the opportunities he has given you to heed the gospel and get right with God, there's a limit. There's a limit to it. Just as there's a limit to our life. We're not going to live forever here on the earth. Our bodies are not going to last forever. There's a limit, and you need to recognize this. Prodigal didn't. He should have. Every time he went to that bag of the money given him by his father and took a handful out of it, it was getting smaller. But he didn't seem to notice. And he was coming back again to it empty-handed. He had wasted it. He wasn't coming back having invested it and made a profit
and putting money into the bag.
No, it was always out, wasting. I'll emphasize something that we have already touched upon. All that a man does, or a boy or a girl, all that we do while we are in rebellion against God is really just a wasting of our substance. The word substance there means life. All that he had, all that he was. Not just the money that was given to him, but everything. His physical life. He was wasting his substance. And so it is with us. We waste our lives if we live in rebellion against God. Doesn't matter how much we're putting into the bank. Doesn't matter how much we are building up our names. Doesn't matter how much our reputation may be spreading in the countryside. We're wasting our lives if we live in rebellion against God. What profit had Judas from the 30 pieces of silver he obtained when he sold the Lord Jesus? What profit came of that money? What profit came of that act? None! Let me solemnly say to you this morning, Judas Iscariot is in hell. That's what selling Christ brought to him. Wasting? Oh, total waste. He is forever lost. He gained nothing from selling the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at the verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which ye have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Here Paul is speaking to us of the fact that we can, in our life, as Christians, build. We will be building. We are building. But some are building with precious materials, while others are just building hay, wood, and stubble. Well, at the end of the day, we're going to be tested. Our work's going to be tried. And it's going to be tried by fire. It's a very thorough test. Well, as you can well imagine, the hay, the wood, and the stubble will all burn away, and there's nothing but ashes. The gold and the silver and the precious stones, well, they'll withstand the fire. And there'll be a reward for Christians who have thus employed themselves. But there'll be Christians that will have very little to show for their life. Little to show for that which God gave them and which they could have invested and caused to grow. They'll have very little to show for that. And we need to ever bear that in mind. We don't want to be wasting our substance, as did the prodigal. We don't want to be wasting that which our Father gave us, but employing it and making use of it so that there's a return. There's a profit to show. Please, these are not just words. There is a day coming when we will stand before the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That day's coming. Now, as you troop off this morning to your classes, if it's English or maths, or geography, or whatever. I hope you bear in mind, I'm sure you do, there will be a test, an examination, to see how much you've taken in, taken notice of. There's a test ahead. Well, so it is with the Lord. So it is with the Lord. There's a test. And he has made it very plain in his word that there will be a test. You can waste your life as a Christian and have little to show for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the verse 10 reads, we, that is Christians, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. It's a day of examination. Good or bad will be set over against what it is you have done. I might just explained to you that this is not a judgment that decides whether or not you're going to heaven. If you're a Christian, you're under the blood, your sins have been forgiven you. This is a test as to what rewards you will receive for the activities of your life. And that lies ahead of the child of God. How much worse it'll be for the sinner. If the Christian's going to be tested and examined, how much worse it will be for you if you're not saved. You're going to be examined. And you're going to be evaluated. And if you have made nothing of the gospel and rejected Christ, then there's judgment for you. And that judgment is hell. I want you to notice in the verses that we read together the downfall of the prodigal. When he got to the far country, things seemed to go all right with him for a while. He lived riotously and everything was great. And then verse 14 says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine." If you are not saved, let me give you a forecast of what lies ahead of you. There's a famine coming. There's a famine coming. God is presently favoring you. He is, as it were, causing the sun to shine upon you. He's giving you every opportunity to embrace the gospel, receive the Savior, start for heaven. But if you don't do that, then that favor will be withdrawn, and there's a famine coming. Just like it was with the prodigal. He went to the far country with his head full of notions as to what that country was filled with. They were all false notions. And now that he had spent everything, he began to realize that this land was a land of famine. There was no famine in his father's house. He said, as we read, "In my father's house the servants have bread enough and to spare, more than enough." But the land he had come to, left his father's house in order to get to, was a land of famine. There was none of his father's bounty there. Listen to me, there is a time coming when you will enter a land of famine, and there's nothing of God's mercy, God's bounty, God's goodness there for you. You've turned your back on it all. Oh, heed the gospel today. There's only one land that's flowing with milk and honey, boys and girls. Only one land, and that's the land over which the Lord Jesus rules. It's his kingdom. And those who enter his kingdom, who are born again, who are saved, who are converted, and become citizens of his kingdom, they find it a land flowing with milk and honey. In the book of Ruth, in the opening verses, we read of a man and a woman who, because hard times had come upon Israel and come upon them because of Israel's sin had forfeited God's blessing, and there were hard times. They turned their back upon the land of Israel, and they went to a neighboring Gentile, wicked, idolatrous country, Moab. And instead of things improving for that man and that woman and their two sons, everything went downhill until of that family there was only the one person left, Naomi, the mother. And she freely confessed that God had brought her down to nothing, because she turned her back upon him. And that's the experience of all who turn their back upon the Lord. Of course, men are very slow to recognize this. They're very slow to recognize this. They don't recognize that I am the author of my own troubles. The prodigal spent everything, began to be in want, there came a famine, he was out feeding pigs, and he would have desired to eat what the pigs were eating. And it never occurred to him, I brought this on myself. This is my fault. Never thought that. That's how it is with men and women in the world. Whatever trouble comes upon them, they never stop to say, I brought this on my own head. I'm living against God. This is why I'm in trouble. They blame everybody but themselves. It was a land of famine. It was a land of disappointment. He began to be in want. Land of disappointment. Oh, what excitement filled his heart and mind as he headed off from his father's house. How he imagined that there would be the satisfying of every desire within his heart in that far country. But it was a land of disappointment. He found himself coming up short. That's what the phrase means. Short of money. Short of everything. There's nothing in this world that lives up to our expectations. Nothing. Every day, if you were to examine the newspapers, there are reports of disappointment. bankers, their investments didn't do as well as they thought. Countries and the plans that the government of that country had laid didn't quite work out. Ministers stand up before Parliament and they give reports. And although they try to cover up and all the rest of it, what they're saying is, well, what we plan to accomplish, we haven't managed. The world is a place of disappointment and failure. It just doesn't come to pass as we hoped it would. And so will your life be without Christ. It's a land of no hope. This prodigal, should he search that far country from one coast to another, from one border to another, he would not find within it hope. He would not find within it the possibility that things will improve. No, it was a land of no hope. He's feeding swine, and he just could find no hope. That's why he said, I will arise and go. There's nothing for me here. I will arise and go. And there's nothing for you in your life of Christ rejection, in the far country of defiance against God. There's nothing for you. Your only hope is to arise and go. It comes into my mind the story of blind Bartimaeus sitting by the highway side. What a hopeless life that poor man lived. He was blind. He couldn't work. He depended entirely upon the scraps, as it were, that people would throw to him as they passed. In the midst of all their activities and those things that occupied them, that man depended upon somehow or other a thought arising in the passerby, in the mind of the passerby, to take pity on the blind man and throw him something. I'm sure there wasn't one out of 100 that even noticed him. No, what a hopeless existence. And then they heard that Jesus was passing by. And word came to him after he cried repeatedly, have mercy upon me. Word came to him, he calleth for thee. What did he do? He arose and he went to Christ. Doubtless the one who brought him word, he calleth for thee, would have guided him. But the blind man got up, and availing himself of the guiding hand of whoever it was came with the message, he started for Christ. There's no hope sitting there by the highway side. There's no hope in the far country. There's only hope in Christ, and you need to come to him. Have you ever come to him? Have you? I hope that you will heed the gospel. Like the prodigal, you'll rise and go to your father's house. So welcome there. Despite all you have done, despite all you have said, despite all you have thought about the Father, about his word, about his son, about his love, about his mercy, despite all your wrong attitudes, there's still a welcome for you. Will you come? May the Lord help you to come. Let's bow in prayer. Write your word, Lord Jesus, upon our hearts. Make our hearts willing, for they are unwilling. But, O God, melt and soften our hearts. And when the message comes to us, he calleth for thee. Help us, O God, to respond. Save boys and girls today who are not saved. O may they cross the line, enter the Father's house, and be saved forevermore. Bless your word. Bless the school. Bless its every need, we ask. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.